In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In the gospel lesson that we heard this morning, we heard once again the familiar story of a miraculous event that happened in a small town just south of the city of Nazareth called Nain. And the gospel says that it was there, as he entered the city of Nain, that Jesus came across a funeral procession that was leaving the city. And the procession was for a young man who had passed away, who was the only son to a woman who was also a widow. And the gospel says that Jesus was moved by what he saw, and that he immediately had compassion on that woman. And it says that he told her not to weep. And then, without even being asked by anyone, the gospel says that Jesus went over and he touched the coffin, which was carrying that young man. And he said one simple word to the man who was laying there in his coffin. He said to him, "Arise." And immediately, the gospel says that that young man sat up and that he actually began to speak. And then the ending of the gospel says that Jesus was able to present that young man back to his mother, the woman who was weeping, and he said not to. And then it also says that for all those who had witnessed the event, they began to glorify God. And that they began to say amongst themselves, "Today, God has truly visited his people." And as we reflect on this gospel story today, it's important to remember why Jesus would perform such a miracle in the first place. He healed a man from his death, and he reunited that man back to his mother, who was a widow and all alone. And the answer is that it was for no other reason than to remind those who were present, and also all those who would hear about the event, that includes all of us, to remind them of one simple truth, that our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ, has an unconditional and an unending love for all of humanity, and that he is always with us. His love is so great that he actually was willing to become a human being himself in order that we ourselves might be renewed and that we might be transformed back into what God created us to be in the beginning. Living human beings made in God's image and after his likeness. Created to be in his presence eternally. Or to look at it another way, it's to recognize that when our path crosses the path of Jesus Christ, miracles happen, renewal happens, and transformation happens. And for the man in the gospel lesson, he just happened to be blessed to be in the right place at the right time, leaving the city of Nain as Jesus was entering. However, there are also multiple other people written about throughout Scripture who also became recipients of God's great love and healing mercy because somebody else on their behalf personally went looking for Jesus and physically put themselves in the path of Jesus. But there are also moments found in Scripture when Jesus would offer a miracle when somebody was brought into his path, not necessarily physically, but spiritually as well. For example, once in the city of Capernaum, there was a man who was a Roman officer whose faith was so strong that he put himself in the path of Jesus by simply asking Jesus to speak one word of healing, so that his servant, who wasn't even present in Capernaum, could be healed. And by his word, the gospel says, Jesus did heal that suffering servant. So both physically and spiritually, for those who are willing to make the effort to put themselves in the path of the Lord, God's mercy can and will truly transform them, if they are disciplined enough, and if they continue to work hard to put themselves in the path of Christ, both physically and both spiritually. But it takes a bold desire to be able to do that, and it takes a willing response, a response to live up to our Christian calling. In other words, it takes effort and it takes work. But in return for that effort, St. Paul reminds us in the epistle lesson this morning that for those seeking to be in the presence of God, God will provide us with every blessing, and he says, in abundance. The epistle says that God's righteousness endures not temporarily, but forever within the soul of those who offer back to God the things that have been given to him by God. And that we are called to offer those things back with joy and with gladness and with a willing spirit. And there's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says that the Lord loves those who pursue righteousness, because the pursuit of living a righteous way of life is the pursuit of living a life that is good and that is acceptable and that is pleasing to God. A righteous life is an obedient life. And a righteous life is a life that is lived in the pursuit of sainthood. We are all called to be saints. And the very example for us of a life that was lived in perfect righteousness is the loving example that God himself gave to us when he sent his only begotten Son into this world to save the world from sin and from death and from ultimate separation from him in heaven. And this was accomplished, we know, by Jesus' death and resurrection that we celebrate each great and holy Pascha every single year at Easter. And so for the saints, their ultimate goal was working towards defeating sin in their lives and defeating evil and overcoming temptation and anything else that might separate them from being eternally united to their Lord and God and Savior in the kingdom of heaven. So living a righteous way of life means struggling to live a saintly way of life. Living the way of life modeled for us by Christ Jesus himself. And Christ himself defined what this saintly way of life looks like in his famous Sermon on the Mountain when he said to love your enemies. That's part of pursuing righteousness. And he said to do good at all times, because that's part of living a righteous life. And he said to lend joyfully and willingly without expecting anything in return, hoping and praying that your gift will be pleasing not only to the one that it's given to, but to the Lord himself. And Jesus said, if you do this, your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High God. And St. Matthew says that righteousness comes from one of my favorite verses in Scripture, when he said in his gospel that righteousness comes from seeking first the kingdom of God in everything you do in life and pursuing God's righteousness. And if you do these things, seek first the kingdom of God before anything else and pursue his righteousness, then all things will be added to your life, including a renewed faith and a transformed life and a renewed love and understanding of what love means and a renewed sense of self-sacrifice. So our goal as Christians, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is to pursue righteousness at all times and in every hour. But it takes work, and it takes a willing spirit, not a spirit turned away from our Creator. And St. Paul says in his letter to the people in Rome, in the book of Romans, that righteousness cannot be fully gained without pursuing Jesus Christ in our life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is righteousness. So our real goal as Christians is to pursue Jesus Christ in our lives, to be conformed to him, to commune with him by partaking of the sacrifice, the sacraments that are offered to us by him. This is why we come to church. And this is why we're here today, hopefully. We're here to put ourselves in the way of Christ and to commune with him. Because as we learned in the gospel lesson this morning, when we find ourselves in the path of Christ, miracles do and will happen, and our lives will be transformed forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.